Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday deals all month long at Blinds.com. Save up to 45% on select styles, plus a free professional measure right now. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, you can listen to us on 910 The Fan, 105.1 on the FM side. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP on yet another Victory Monday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careersmios.com. We'll check in with our colleague Doc Walker coming up at 8:20, but joining us right now, as he does every Monday after a game, and lately it's every Monday after a win, it's John Kime, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How about that, huh?
Hey, John. Speaking of wins, you tweeted this yesterday. The over-under on Washington's win total of the season was 6.5. They became the first team to hit the over this season. Pretty remarkable that they're hitting it in week 9.
I mean, it is, and you know, it's easy to explain sometimes, and it's hard because the quarterback is really good, and it's such a different atmosphere out there. But we know what we've watched in recent years, and to think that it would go be like this after 9 weeks, I think is you'd have to have a lot of blind faith to have thought it would be this good after 9 games.
Just to start with something that we usually don't start with, let's hone in on the offensive line. I was really impressed by them. Not only because they were playing the Giants, who had this reputation as this great pass-rushing team,
they
leading sack guy, Dexter Lawrence.
As a team, they were the leading.
Yes. Yeah. But in particular, in the fourth quarter, when they needed big conversions, the pass to Eckler, the pass to Oz, I mean, I don't think there was anybody within 3 feet of Jaden Daniels.
No, they've done a really good job. And I think, so this speaks to everything that they really didn't get last year. And first of all, I think there are, like, Biadasz is a good addition, and Allegretti is a good addition, and I think Brandon Coleman was a good draft pick. You have to start there, but I also think that it's a combination of other factors. One, Daniels is a really good quarterback. That always helps. And then two, with Kingsbury, like, they chipped the hell out of those defensive ends.
Right.
And whether it's a running back, a receiver, a tight end, they're constantly doing that. And it's not just going and giving a little love tap, right? It's a blow to the body, and that slows them down, and it puts the tackles in better position. That all helps. So I think it's such a combination of factors. And even in the run game is fun to watch because there's a lot of things that they'll do that creates confusion, hesitation, and better blocking angles. And so I think it's a well-coached group. And I think the group then takes it from there.
JK, do you think, sticking with the offensive line, do you think that the line is starting to get, you know, so much hype that maybe they're one of the best units in the league now?
Oh, I don't. I don't. I think the offense is one of the best in the league. And
yeah, but the line's been really good, man.
The line has been really good, yes. Yeah. And I think, but I, you know, just like, it's just even like last year when they're giving up all these sacks, you couldn't put it all on the line because there's so much that goes into it. It's protection, right? And so protection encompasses play calling, quarterback, you know, other players who have to make blocks. I mean, you watch Eckler picking up some of those blitzes, and it's really good. And I don't, my only thing in that, I don't watch all these other lines, so I don't know. Yeah. What I know, here's what I know. They're working very well. And it's a group that it's, you know, they're like little kids in the same box. They play well together. And I think the additions were, I think Biadasz has been a really good addition. And Cosmi's a really good right guard. And I think with Andrew Wiley, you know, it's funny because I've had these talks with him. Like, there are times where he said, like, I'll still mess up a block, but number five gets, you know, bails me out. Mm-hmm. But what you also see with him is more of what he can do. And he's a good run blocker, and he can get out in space and move. And so I think, like, I think what this group does well, too, is they have each of those guys. You know, Coleman's an athletic tackle. Mm-hmm. So you watch him, it wasn't like he was always one-on-one with the ends. But there were times when he was with, like, Burns, and his feet are just really good. And that, and it, you know, trying to push him out, and it just, his feet are always moving, but they can also all pull. So I think there's good talent there and good skill, but I think the coaches do a good job again and then enhancing it. It's a combination of efforts here, and I think they're a very good group. They're a productive group, and they are a definite part of the reason why they're winning.
You know, you pointed out, I listened to your podcast as I was driving in, John, and you pointed out that I guess it's been since 1933 or since the stats been created that they've had a team through 9 weeks has had this few of turnovers. Meanwhile, at this point last year, they had 20.
That's incredible. Yeah. I mean, yes. Yeah. They're both incredible that it's that big a difference, but the one is just unbelievable to think that it's that. But you go, like, it's not, and I can credit Jaden Daniels for some of that, right? Because interceptions are a big part, especially with a rookie quarterback, and he takes really good care of the ball. And there are some times, and I even talked about this on there, and like, but there are definitely some times where there are plays where you say, could you have made that throw? Well, yeah, probably. But you're also avoiding, you know, if you're not comfortable, don't, and protect the points. Or there was a play last week, if you remember the screen where he throws it, he just turfs it. And there's a defensive end there, probably could have dropped it over his head. We've seen quarterbacks try to do that, and we've seen him get in trouble because of it. So whether it's a tip or, you know, maybe it's a guy just grabs it, whatever, you don't get it over his head, whatever. He just turfs it, and you live to play another down. So just some, and you know, we've seen that other times where it just, he's smart with the ball. But you also then have to credit the backs because they're not dropping it either. Mm-hmm. So but it's remarkable how well they've been at protecting the ball. But the turnover, you know, any coach will always tell you, like, the turnover differential is always one of the biggest keys to a season. And, you know, they're doing well with it. And you see they caused a fumble yesterday, and Giants couldn't do anything.
So, John, I was really impressed by one of the few holdovers left from the Ron Rivera era, Chris Rodriguez. He has his number called because B-Rob can't go yesterday because he's facing both a knee and a hamstring injury, limited him. So he made the most of his opportunity, led the team, he tied for the team league in carries with 11, led them in rushing yards with 52, averaged nearly 5 yards per carry. Like, he came up big when the team needed him to.
He did. Tough, hard runner. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny because he didn't look as great this summer. I liked him last year. Like, I thought he was a good, tough runner and showed something that he could be on a roster for, you know, for a little bit and have productive games. And but this summer didn't always look as comfortable as I expected. And you weren't even sure that after he got cut, would they even bring him back to the practice squad? But he certainly looked comfortable yesterday. And so maybe it just took him a minute to get used to the system or whatever. But he runs hard. And I go back to some of the run game designs too, that they have, that I think helps these backs. But you have to also run hard, and he does. Like, he'll lower his shoulder very well and runs with that good contact balance. And So, yeah, no, it was a good job by him.
Let's talk about the defense a little bit. If there is an area that, yeah, I think, you know, you still got to be a little bit concerned about. Obviously, the run defense still an issue. Yeah. The back end of the passing game can obviously still be an issue. Yep. Dante Fowler, he's really blossoming, right? My God, is he having a season. How did Newton look? Luvu wasn't quite as visible. Is that an injury still kind of holding him back? Or
Mathis
going
got
on?
Banged up, too.
Mathis banged up. What's going on?
Mathis banged up. So the first half was obviously a disaster in the run game. But it's funny because I was watching this morning, too, like what, because the second half had changed. And what changed? And I felt like in the second half they did a good job. And I'll get to the question in a minute. But like they did a better job of moving and causing movement at the snap and not being as static. And I think that allowed them to make some more plays. And sometimes that did involve Luvu with a run blitz around the edge and causing some disruption in the blocking, what they wanted to do, and fewer double teams on the tackles. Newton at times made some plays. You know, there was one in the second half where one of the few times where they were able to get, you know, not have him doubled. And so he's able to shed the block and go help make a play. And so, you know, but there are other times where I felt like they did a really good job doubling on the down of the tackles, which kind of negated some of what their effectiveness for sure. So, but yeah, Luvu, I mean, he didn't look, I don't know that it necessarily hindered him. I just think the style of the game, too. Like, you're going to probably feel him more when it's more of a pass-heavy attack. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because, like, that's when you can really do a lot with him. So in these kind of games, like, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of taking on the blocker. You know, the other problem, too, was Daniel Jones. Like, after that run he had, there were, like, several plays in a row or several plays in the next, you know, series or two where they're taking a Luvu out of the play by, you know, the quarterback action. So you're anticipating maybe another zone read run. So Luvu's got to stay outside and the run's going inside, right? So they're able to kind of take him away a little bit by just some of the action of that. But, you know, but yeah, Newton had, I haven't watched all his plays, but I know that in the first half there were definitely a number of double teams on him and Payne. And then the second half, some of the early plays that I saw, he was able to get a one-on-one and shed the guy.
JK, what's your vibe on what Adam Peters may or may not do before tomorrow's deadline at 4 o'clock?
So listen, we always know that every GM is going to be talking to a lot of other teams for a long time. Like anything that happens now, they've been working the phones for a while because that's what they do. Mm-hmm. So if it's funny, people get excited when they hear that. It's like, well, they're always doing that. Like it's a constant thing. But so clearly they could use some secondary help. Mm-hmm. I think we know that. I don't anticipate some big swing. I think they're very determined to maintain how they view it as the proper way to build, which is, build through the draft, supplement other ways. I think they realize they need more than a couple, pieces to get to get to that place where they want to be. It's not just, you know, win the division, make the playoffs. It's can you build a consistent team that can compete for titles? So I don't like if they did something. My vibe has been more bargain shopping. You know, you have multiple 6th and 7th round picks. If you're going to get a rental player, that's what you're going to give up. I don't see them giving up anything. It would be hard to, depending on who it is and the situation, it'd be hard to see them giving up something more than a low round pick for a rental.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and I'd have a hard time seeing them give up a higher pick for someone just based on their MO. You're giving up picks and then probably cap space for a player that maybe you could get for just cap space in the off season. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to give up a 2nd or 3rd round pick for someone.
No,
But Adam and Dan might in Kingsbury, they might go in the offices go, man, we're better than we thought we were going to be. We're a legit Super Bowl contender. So if we can make a move or two, even if they're minor moves, it makes us better.
Oh, I think for sure I could definitely see them making a move. I just don't. I think it's more, again, if it's a rental, you've seen some of these other ones around the league for 6th or 7th round picks, or maybe there's a pick swap involved in there. You know, I think you could definitely see that because, you know, you can't, if you can improve your roster now, it doesn't mean if you give up a 6th or 7th, you're not sacrificing your future.
Yeah, right.
You know, so like I could definitely see that. I don't think it'd be some big swing, but I could definitely see something like that because they do need some help in some areas. And if you can find a guy, you kind of owe it to yourself and your team to get that guy without sacrificing the way you believe you can do it. I think there's a way to do both, and that would be the way. So, yeah, I could, because they do need – listen, we know they need help at corner. They need – if nothing else, they need more depth there. And you could always use more could you use more depth at receiver or anything like that? But I don't think you're going to get the receiver that you necessarily want. They're doing a pretty – like Noah Brown's done a really good job. Diami's been a help when he's been able to get the ball. So, I think the corner would be the big area.
Yeah. Speaking of corner, unless I'm missing something, I don't think Manny Forbes was inactive, but I also don't think he got any snaps.
No, he didn't. There was actually one time where I saw him start to go on the field, and then I think it was like a 4th down, and then there was one where they ruled that he actually got it, and then he had to come back off the field. That's the only time that I remember seeing him out there. I haven't checked the snaps, but
I don't see him listed.
And here's the other thing, like in a run heavy game, I don't think I'm going, especially with what they were doing, a lot of jumbo packages, it's going to be hard to get him in the game in that situation. And
Real quick before we let you go, just getting back to my question about the trades. This is just a fan talking, but they may look at the Eagle games. And the first one's in 2 weeks, and they might go, all right, what can we go out and do to try and stop Barkley? Because Barkley's killing everybody, and if they think, all right, we're going to win the division, we obviously need to beat Philly. Who can we go out and get to stop Barkley or help stop Barkley?
Well,
and
maybe, I think you're going to have to give up a pretty high pick to get that guy.
I mean,
I don't, you know what I mean? I don't know who.
I don't know if it's a safety or if it's another linebacker.
Their linebackers are Luvu and Wagner. So you're not going to, you know what I mean? Like, I think then you'd need somebody inside or something like that to kind of get to him before he gets to the open field, right? So I don't know. I think what you could do is you could look and say, do you need more depth at certain positions to combat that offense in particular? Because they do have other good talent. And I think that, could I see that? Yeah. I mean, I could definitely see them making a move. Just can you get a good bargain move? And doesn't even have to mean a bargain player necessarily. Well, it's not going to be an impact player, but can you get a decent player for a low round pick? And if you can do that and bolster your roster, then it makes sense to do it. But I don't know who you're going to get to stop Barkley.
Or maybe
that dude's jumping over guys backwards.
He's ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe they don't make any moves. Who knows? We'll see.
No. And I don't know. And I think, as we've always said, even before the season, I really like what they were doing to build long term. You just didn't know how it would look short term. But I don't, I think the one thing that, because there is that school of thought, now you're in position, but how many pieces do you need? What would it cost to really get you to that point where you say we know they're legitimate NFC East contenders. They're legitimate playoff contenders.
Yeah.
If you want to build a consistent team like that, are you at that point? And, that's the hard one. But, I don't think they're going to sacrifice. The thing that I think you can feel good about if you're a Washington fan, they're not going to sacrifice their future to just try to go all in, put all your chips in now. But, get a guy that can help you certainly be part of a rotation, be a help, because that guy, there are guys like that out there.
All right, well, keep us posted.
All right,
JK.
Thanks, buddy. John. Appreciate it, John.
Thanks.
Based on that last conversation, I'm putting up the Junkies poll of the day, brought to you by Scotty's Vodka, Maryland made, super smooth, love throughout the DMV. With the Commanders 7-2 atop the NFC East, do you want to see them make a trade before the deadline, which is tomorrow? You can vote at Junks Radio. We'll be right back and tackle that next. Welcome back.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service.
A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday deals all month long at Blinds.com. Save up to 45% on select styles, plus a free professional measure right now. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. Streaming live on that free Odyssey app. You can take us on the go, listen to us all across the country. We're basking in another Victory Monday brought to you by Chenega Mios, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Jason mentioned this earlier in the show, and then during our interview with John Kime brought up a potential trade. So we put up the poll of the day brought to you by Scotty's Vodka, Maryland made, super smooth, love throughout the DMV. Do you want to see the Commanders make a move before the deadline? 800-636-1067. Poll's only been up for 7 minutes. 82% say yes. Does Cakes the GM want to see them make a move?
I agree with John Kahn that it'll be like a fringy type of move. You're not going to give up like big draft capital or assets.
You're not giving up a second or third rounder.
But yeah, I would like to see them do something maybe to tweak the rushing defense, because I mean, let's be honest, it looked abysmal in the first half against the Giants.
I don't know what position, though.
I don't know. I mean,
maybe get some more depth at defensive line since guys are getting banged up.
They have so many tackles.
Maybe it's another safety.
Maybe they can find somebody
better. Who are they going to give up on?
I don't know.
I mean, like, if you actually think about it plausibly, like
maybe there's somebody out there better than Fedarian Mathis.
What if Mathis is banged up?
He's like the only guy that you would potentially give up. You're not going to give up on the other guys.
I'm not saying you're giving up on guys, but just to add depth.
So do you think somebody down?
So my point is, do you think that, I mean, this team's 7-2, right? They beat the Steelers, are 8-2 before a massive game, a division game against the Eagles. Maybe they think, all right, the Eagles are the one team we need to beat if we think we can win the division, because the Cowboys are done, the Giants are done. So how can we beat the Eagles? All right, how do we get stronger to beat the Eagles? So maybe they look at those two games and go, these are the most critical games.
I know.
And then going forward in the playoffs, all right, what makes us better? Because maybe I understand that they're rebuilding based on last year, and they just completely gutted the roster, and they've got a rookie quarterback. But maybe they feel, you know what? We're good enough this year.
Right, they might go for it.
I'm telling you, I don't know who they would get rid of at this point. Like at linebacker, they're not going to move those guys, like John said.
I'm not saying you're getting rid of.
You don't have to get rid of Mathis, but you can make him inactive on game days if you find a depth piece out there that you feel is better.
Or you're just adding to that unit, like you're just adding to the secondary.
Right. You don't need to.
I'm not saying you're trading anybody.
You don't need to shut down Mathis. Like you just add a piece to the room.
If you could find one better. I mean, not that I think Mathis is great. He would be the only one, I would think. I wouldn't be surprised if they move Manny Forbes, if anybody would take him.
Well, I mean, who's going to give you anything of value for Manny
Forbes?
He's
a former first-round pick a year and a half ago. Maybe you could get a fourth or fifth rounder. I don't know.
They were able to move Jahan Dotson.
Yeah, they found a team to take Dotson. That is true. But I don't think you'd fetch more than like a sixth or seventh rounder for Manny Forbes.
All right.
But if people are looking at him like he can't even play for you guys, like why would we give up a fourth or a fifth round pick?
Just because you liked him coming out of the draft.
Hey, look, your questions are valid. I'm just saying
maybe
there's just a guy out there we think can help us going forward for the last eight, 9 weeks, and especially against the Eagles, to help us win the division.
Saquon is awesome, but I also think he sometimes is hit or miss. Now, maybe he's been less hit or miss this year.
He's been mostly hit this year.
Yeah. He's been massive this
year. He's maybe had like
and
one
it's because
or two down games
this
year.
Defenses don't have to 100% focus on him because obviously they've got Hurts and they've got two receivers that are really good, and their offensive line is one of the best in the league.
Hey, they might add to wide receiver too. It may not be the move that we think is the most important, but here's the Adam Schefter tweet. In recent weeks, there have been players who privately stated or told their agents they want to be traded to the Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not used to that.
Nope.
It's not used
When's
to this place
being heard that?
A destination for potential trade targets.
I just don't know how that's going to impact this trade deadline, right? I think players probably do want to come here and play for Jaden. But so are they going to tell their... What are they, players that can refuse a trade or something? They're like, I don't even understand how that works.
I would guess they just go to their agent and say, hey, when you're when you're shopping around teams, think about the Commanders. Put them on the list. Mm-hmm. Whereas years before, this place was toxic and nobody wanted to be anywhere around here.
No, well, they can't block a trade, but they're just probably informing their agents, hey, this is a team I'm kind of interested in if they're calling you.
Look, they're going to need some secondary help. I think that's the primary thing they need. Opposing quarterbacks have a 102 passer rating against Washington this year.
Now, if you're looking to make a kind of semi-splashy move, if I'm Adam Peters, I might call the Titans and see what it would take to get Calvin Ridley pried away from the Titans. Because they're not going anywhere. And then you've got a legit 1-2 attack in McLaurin and Ridley. And you can let Noah Brown be the three and whoever else is behind him. That's an interesting name on a team that's not really going anywhere. He's expensive.
Yeah.
He makes a lot of money. That might be the thing that...
I just think they're making do with their crew. That none of the fans are excited about it, but they're making do.
Understood, but why...
They're scoring like 30 a game.
Why make do if Peters likes a guy like Ridley and the price is right? I'm just saying... That should be one of the calls that he's potentially making.
I would be surprised if he's even really obsessing on that.
Yeah, but maybe you want to get better. Like the Chiefs, now they've had injuries. Last week traded for DeAndre Hopkins. And though he didn't have a big splash in terms of production in his first game, I heard one of the analysts say that he was a big reason Travis Kelce went off because the defense has had to pay attention to D-Hop. He was actually only in the field for 32% of the snaps.
Mm-hmm.
So that made them better. They're an undefeated team who said they were already making do, EB. They were making do with what they had, but they decided to get better. So,
all right.
But if it's not going to cost too much, get better.
And you know what? Maybe they don't make a move. Maybe something just doesn't work out. And teams are asking for too much. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't work out. But I could see them adding a piece and not giving up a lot.
I just don't know what they could add that would be super helpful and not give up a lot.
Well, what do you think are the weaknesses of this team, right?
Well,
now?
I think secondary.
Right. There's a bunch of trade candidates in the secondary.
And I don't know. I don't know how you stop the run. I have no idea.
I think the run stopping to me is a higher priority than the secondary. They're both subpar. But you let the Giants gouge you for 140 in the first half, basically do whatever they want with their running backs and their quarterback against your rushing defense. And you know what the Steelers are going to do when they come in here. They have a top eight rushing offense. They're going to do the exact same thing.
And you know what the Eagles are going to do.
The Giants did, right.
Because the Eagles can do it with Bark and they can do it with Hurts.
Correct.
So you need a big, fat guy, like some 360-pounder.
Yep. You need a big, disgruntled DT to plug in the middle. Along with Johnny Newton and Payne.
I just don't see it. But maybe you're right.
You might be right. They might not do anything.
I'm not saying that they're not going to do anything. I just don't know wedge another win. They kind of have bodies that they seem to like, but maybe you're right. Maybe they just give up on Mathis.
Well, you just make a guy inactive. You know, I mean, there's ways to do that.
Yeah. And who's going to be giving away like a great run stopper?
Calais Campbell.
I mean, how old is that guy?
A billion, but...
He's like 38 or 39, right?
I just don't see it. I mean, maybe they will.
So right now, the Commanders are 29th in the NFL stopping the run. They allow 143 yards per game on the ground. Mm. Only teams worse than them, what do they have in common? Cowboys, Colts, and Panthers.
Right.
Loser teams.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to be lumped in with them for anything.
Didn't you say that they gained most of their yardage in that first half?
140 of the 160, whatever.
Yeah. And is that just because they didn't run much in the second half?
Well, they
half?
Were trailing.
Yeah, they were yeah, throwing a lot.
I mean, they had to throw the ball to try to compete.
Yeah, and Mark Sanchez doing the game, he made a good point of it. He was like, you can't just lean on the run for an entire for 60 mm-hmm. minutes if you want to win a game. He was talking about the Giants,
yeah.
obviously.
Mm-hmm. There were a lot of people that thought that Mark Sanchez had a very pro-Giants lean on the call during
Did
the
he?
Game. Yeah,
pro-Giants in terms
again,
of...
this is Twitter, okay? So you can't take it that seriously. But a lot of people thought that Sanchez was like going out of his way to praise the Giants and not giving the Commanders a lot of shine.
I just thought mm-hmm. it was a D-list group, at you know, for a team that's doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Team that kind of everybody
you're not
wants.
A Chris Myers guy.
He's all right.
I like Chris Myers.
Well,
he's,
that's
a
what he's a nice person.
He's a veteran.
He's a veteran, but it doesn't have the gravitas.
You don't get the A team when there's a 2-6 team facing a 6-2 team.
Yeah, but it's a division rivalry. Jaden's like one of the hottest guys
like,
in the league.
You're gonna get an A team when the Steelers are in town
mm-hmm.
because it's 6-2 versus 7-2.
It just brought me back to all the mediocre years. I listened to that, those two guys. I thought mm-hmm. mediocre.
Is Nance coming back for? Because that's
I'm
a
not
CBS
sure he
game?
Is. Because he said the week to come would have been like a couple weeks ago.
Right. Because he was in Baltimore recently.
Yeah.
With Romo.
All right. Let's pass some of these calls. If anybody thinks that there's a trade out there that you'd like to pull the trigger on, what do you got? About 24 hours or so to get it done.
4 o'clock tomorrow.
Let's go to Ron. Ron, what's up, buddy? What do you think? What would you do? 800-636-1067. Would you make a move?
Yes, sir. I would most definitely try to see what we can do to beat that defense up. Yesterday, watching the game, it just seemed like the Giants running back, they was taking it to us on the inside and whatnot. We go up against Barkley or some heavy hitter running backs. They're going to take it to us even more. We definitely got to do something trying to beat that up. And also, you know, the secondary. I think we can wait for the wide receivers. If somebody is there in the wide receiver that we can go get, that can help Daniels, so be it. But I think the number one focus, honestly, should be on that defensive line because we are definitely struggling.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
Struggling.
I just feel like we're kind of boxed in. But I don't know why I think that. Just roster-wise, I feel like we're kind of boxed in. We just got to play better. Got to communicate yeah. better.
By the way, Barkley's worst game this season was against Cleveland, where he had 18 carries for 47 yards.
Mm-hmm.
His other yardage for the season, 109, 95, 147, 84, 176, 108, 159. And that's not even factoring in what he's doing in the receiving
game. How many total touchdowns does he have total?
He's eight. Got...
rushing and receiving?
Six rushing, two receiving.
So he's got yeah. eight. Yeah,
he's
so
averaging about 6 yards a carry. I mean, that's obviously...
which is a big uptick from what he was doing in New York.
Yeah.
But the other thing when you face the Eagles is Jalen Hurts has 8 rushing touchdowns.
Right.
Yeah.
So, two-headed monster there. I was just looking at the last 4 games for the Commanders against the run. So, Ravens ran for 4.8 yards per carry, 176 yards. Derrick Henry went for 132, 2 touchdowns. Lamar also ran for 40 in that game. They did a good job against the Panthers, but... it's the Panthers. They only allowed mm-hmm. 95 yards rushing. Then they faced the Bears. They allowed 202 yards rushing, 6.1 yards per carry. Of course, there was one long run in that one.
Mm-hmm.
But long runs are part of the equation.
They count. They count just the same.
And the Giants just went for 164, 5.3 yards per carry. So it's definitely an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no getting around it.
Well, it's been an issue all year.
Or
and somehow they found a way to get 7 wins.
Or does Jake, like JK
the offense
said,
is that prolific?
Does Peter sit back and talk to Quinn and the coaching staff and go, you know what? We just want to keep all our draft capital, mm-hmm. even acquire more, and just start building for 25, 26, 27.
Right.
Or does he go and go, you know what? We're damn good.
Yeah, we're 7-2. We didn't expect to be here.
I mean, it sounds crazy, but what if he thinks we can win a Super Bowl or at least get there?
Mm-hmm.
But we just need to add a piece.
If he thinks that this is a Super Bowl team, if they add another piece or two, then he absolutely should make the move. Now I'm not saying give up a first or second rounder, but if you have to part with a third or fourth rounder for somebody you really want, might be worth it. By the way, you have the extra third rounder in the Jahan Dotson deal.
Yeah.
So you got extra capital to just wheel and deal with.
800-636-1067. Do you want to see the Commanders make a move? And what move would you make? 800-636-1067. Hey, if your old car or truck has seen better days, you can donate your vehicle to the Purple Heart Foundation and turn that unwanted vehicle into support for our veterans. You'll get free pickup and a tax break, and our veterans will get the life-saving services they need. Call 877-718-HERO or visit purpleheartfoundation.org to donate. 877-718-HERO. That's 877-718-HERO, or go to purpleheartfoundation.org to support our heroes today.
So our anytime touchdown parlay was mostly a swing and a miss this weekend. Only one leg hit, but we have to give a shine to Mike Marr because he's super red hot. His pick, which was the longest shot of all of the picks, Jalen Waddle plus 235, hit.
It's incredible.
It hit.
I think Waddle had one catch.
He didn't do much, but he found the end zone.
Yeah, he did absolutely nothing outside of that touchdown. But, you know, I was telling the guys when I walked in here, you're only as good as your next play. So, you know, I got to put that behind me, get ready for Friday, and, you know, get back to the drawing board.
All right, good. But, hey, props to you, man.
Plus, you had a good birthday weekend, huh?
Yeah, it was a show.
Thanks to Surfside and...
Yeah, showstopper. I mean, obviously started Thursday with Halloween, had a good time, and then yesterday, Friday, got the Surfside delivery, went out to Hyde. Shout out Chuck for hooking us all up there again. Walked in, reserved table, bottles,
man,
free
bottles.
Drinks. And then Saturday, had people over at my house. We did a bonfire, watched all the college football games, stayed up way too late, and then Commanders putting a bow on it yesterday.
What time did you wake up?
What a weekend.
What time did you wake up yesterday morning?
It was the latest I've slept in probably like 2 years. I woke up at like 10.
Oh, nice.
9:30 or 10. Way too late.
Hey, speaking of shout-outs, I got to shout-out my boy Courtney West from Cherries for Hire because I had a vehicle this weekend.
Okay.
I had a wedding last night.
A Sunday evening wedding?
A Sunday night wedding at 5 p.m.
You went to it during NFL Sunday? This is shocking news.
I told my wife, I said, if the wedding was any earlier than 5, I was out.
Right.
Because the Commanders, it's a work day.
Yeah, yeah. Who was getting married? Right. We're in that age group.
Family?
Friends. It was her first marriage, his second.
Okay. Yeah.
His first wife passed away a few years ago.
All right.
Good friends, but they... I guess they just got married on Sunday because it was cheaper.
Had to be cheaper, yeah.
But it was all the bells and whistles.
Right.
I mean, it was a legit wedding.
Fancy. It was foofy.
It was at a foofy winery.
Okay. What'd you have for dinner?
Steak.
Nice steak.
Steak and mashed potatoes and asparagus. And a nice salad.
Smelly. Smelly. I don't want for
well,
you.
But anyways. So
I'm going to stay away from you in the bathroom.
But thank you to Cherries for Hire because they got us there safe and secure.
Very nice.
And back. But it was a would you have gone to a 5 o'clock wedding on a Sunday night?
I mean, if it's a good friend, yes.
It depends on who. It just depends on who.
Yeah,
I mean, they're good friends.
Step up.
Yeah, it's a good
sometimes.
Friend, yes.
But good I mean, friend.
You got to do a lot of things you don't like
I'll
sometimes.
Be checking my phone a lot. Because you're right
in the
late window.
Oh, well, they had a TV in the bar area.
I'll be doing this.
They had a TV. I was watching the card. I might be doing this,
watching the game, a game on my phone. I need stats. I need to stay in.
Hey, there was a TV there, and I was watching the Cardinal game.
Yeah,
but the happy hour before the actual ceremony,
right,
was lasting a little too long, and I'm looking at my phone, going, "What time am I going to get to bed?"
Yeah,
because this is
it's always important.
I was aiming to get back to my house by about 7.
Right,
didn't happen. And then you know,
how would you get back to your house at 7? At 5 o'clock wedding?
Yeah,
I was hoping it would be a quick
one. Bang bang, let's do this.
And then you know the speeches would be quick, dinner, and then the party starts. And I was out before the party started.
Oh yeah.
So I thought that was a possibility, but I didn't get out of there until close to 8.
Oh wow, yeah. 8 o'clock.
Well, for me on a Sunday night, that's like going to bed at midnight.
Oh, by the way, I took a walk with my wife last night at 6:45, and it looked like midnight.
Of course.
I'm going to be depressed for 7 to 10 days until my body adjusts to the darkness. The darkness is just coming in on us all.
5:15.
Good news is, though, I think it's supposed to be reasonably warm this week. Like, it might hit 80
something
in the next couple
days. But it's still dark at 6 p.m. And
yeah, I don't like it.
My body doesn't adjust well to it.
And I still have clocks with, like, batteries. In my house, I still have a few that I got to go around and manually change, and I loathe that.
Soul crushing.
Hey, if this is the give shine portion of the show,
yes.
Valdez should get some shine. Our buddy Chris Farley sent Cakes and I a text of him running. He kind of kept it on the down low, but he finished his first half marathon.
Oh, congrats, buddy.
Right. Which was in Ocean City,
yeah,
right?
The Ocean City half marathon.
How could it not be in Ocean City? Of course, this guy running in Ocean City.
Running down Coastal Highway.
Ocean City half marathon.
How many blocks were blocked off?
Well, you ran basically from Assateague all the way over the inlet bridge.
Oh, over the bridge.
And then up the boardwalk, then all the way back down towards the inlet.
So the actual Coastal Highway wasn't blocked.
No. Coastal Highway was not blocked, but there were definitely golfers bitter that Rum Point was basically shut down. The road to Rum Point was
shut
down.
Couldn't get there,
Was it tempting to dip into fun land when you were on the boardwalk or one of the other haunts that you...
I know. I would have had a better time if I didn't play three games of skee ball at Fun City.
I told you. I knew it would be too tempting.
But you accomplished your goal, which was the half marathon. And
very cool.
I don't know if you're planning to do it, but Farley in the text he sent to Cakes and I said he's doing a marathon next year.
Ooh, look at that.
I'm contemplating it.
I felt good after the
13.1.
Yeah.
And to be honest, the kind of the euphoria of setting a goal and accomplishing it.
Yeah. And then finishing it with everyone cheering you on.
And finishing it. There's a guy definitely with no legs at mile 10 that really got me going.
That's some inspiration.
So how's he doing it? What was he doing?
No. He was there just cheering everyone with legs on.
Right. Oh. Okay.
I think he had leg envy.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but the euphoria you have, like, it kind of hits you like around mile 11.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like you're... And it's kind of emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Like you set out to do something and you finally did it and
you
accomplished
it. Did you get a creeper?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Well, a little bit. And I saw the guy with no legs and I'm sitting there. I'm like, I cannot believe my fat ass is doing this.
Yeah.
And you have this this overcoming joy and sensation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like you're chasing a high now and you kind of want to see how it's going to feel to do 26.2.
Right.
So Farley sent that text, and it did make me think of Cakes, because Cakes, prior to him running a marathon, said he would never. He would go on the air, and it's like, I'm never running a marathon. But Farley has a way of getting in you and then indoctrinating
you into the running gospel.
I set this goal pre-Farley,
yeah,
and then I kind of included him in my journey.
Right.
And he's been very helpful.
Yeah. He'll pump you up.
The most enthusiastic person. He's
definitely your cheerleader along the way. He's been helpful.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of on the edge if I'm going to do a full marathon. I don't know.
Next year
is going to be my, if I'm going to do it, it's going to be next year.
Are you going to be 40 soon? Like, how old are you?
I'm 37.
You're 37.
All right. You still got some time.
I did my marathon when I was 40. And I'll tell you this. I've never felt worse the 2 or 3 days after I did the marathon. I mean, I had big purple swollen toes. I could barely walk.
I don't feel... Like, the thing is, I felt kind of bad maybe within the first 15 hours of doing it. But I feel fine now.
Right. You're good now.
So I know my body can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a lot of preparation.
It's now or never.
That's the thing. It's a big time commitment to carve out all of these runs and everything.
Do you look better in your birthday suit?
I feel like I look better.
You know,
but trust me, there's a lot of heifers out there running half marathons and full marathons.
That's how
I know I can do it.
Right. Well, I can tell you this.
Oh, I'm sure you could do it.
Just to transition in the shine portion of the show. Mm. Congrats to my daughter Kelsey. She just ran the New York City Marathon this weekend.
We had marathoning.
Awesome weekend in New York, visiting family and friends. Met a couple of her girlfriends. One of her friends is in the Venice Running Club, and I met her the day before. She played college basketball and then started running just a couple years ago. She finished the marathon in under 3 hours.
Mm. Wow.
And Kelsey crushed it. She did very well. But that is it's emotional even being a dad watching your kid. Now, I saw her for all of like 10 seconds on the course. Like, we had to do this whole thing, find a spot. We're on mile 16. Then you can follow the tracker and see when they're approaching. And like, okay, she's crossing the bridge. She's 2 blocks away. And then all of a sudden, boom, they're on top of you. But I got a little high five on the course. Mm-hmm. And then we left there, had a meal, and then we got close to the finish line. Saw her again for a couple seconds.
Have a cocktail, have a beer while your daughter's out there grinding.
She's on mile 16. We're not going to see her again until mile 26.2.
Right. Yeah, good.
You know, so she crushed it, which was awesome.
Well, that's an awesome accomplishment.
But it was also another time, just confirmation, I am not a city slicker. Because I drove into the city on Saturday, and then we drove to my buddy Mike's place. And just the stress of driving in the city, finding a parking spot. I found a parking spot on the street. You know how nowadays your cars have sensors if you're too close when you're backing up or too close when you're front forward? When I parked my car, both parts were hitting the alarm. Think about that. I had about a foot space in front of me and a foot space behind me. And I got my Kia Telluride in there, but just horns beeping at you while you're trying to do, you know, your parallel parking. And I can't handle the city. For a day or two, it's fine, but it's just too much.
It's fine for a pop-in or a weekend, but you can't live there.
The way to make it easier is you plan ahead. So you look at where your destination is, and you just find the garages. So if nothing else, you have a garage you can go to?
We mostly did that. I mean, we parked on Saturday. You have to check in at the Javits Center. There's 50,000 people. 50,000 people ran in that race, right?
Yep.
And not surprised. That race does not have, my brother kept saying it, that race does not have heifers. Because you got to qualify. It's all skinny, fast people. Mm-hmm. And we parked in a lot. And then I didn't necessarily plan to see my buddy Mike, but I was like, gave him a call. Like, okay, we can pop over there. And that was the drive and look for a parking spot, which is stressful.
It's when we might have to Uber.
But the
Uber
other thing Valdez learned is, at least it's his, like, since Kelsey had done it before and I drove her to the start line, if it's cold in the morning, you feel it. Tell him what happened to you in the morning.
I was in the 40s.
I didn't prepare. I didn't have like a sweatshirt on. So I was shivering.
You were freezing.
I was freezing for the first part
of it. Did you just sleep on the temperature, or did you think you would be
fine? I just didn't realize there was so much waiting around before the start of it.
So cold.
Yeah. I mean,
how long did you stand around?
I got there like at 7. I had to take a bus to Assateague at 7:50. We got there and I was standing around for about 30-40 minutes before the gun went off.
And then, but are you still like cold when you're running? Or?
No. After about the first 2 miles, you're kind of fine.
Acclimated. The grizzled marathoners, they bring a sweatshirt and then you throw it away. There's usually like a Goodwill pile. You throw it away, but you're usually standing around for like an hour or two or whatever, and then you just throw away your clothes. He didn't have the disposable clothes.
I don't like to throw away my clothes.
You would never throw away your full tilt poker fleece.
No,
I know that.
Never.
All right. It is a Victory Monday here on the Junkies, brought to you by Chenega Miles, 2024 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about Mark Sanchez. Cakes mentioned it. A lot of fans hating on Mark Sanchez on the call. We'll tackle that next here on the Junkies.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday deals all month long at Blinds.com. Save up to 45% on select styles, plus a free professional measure right now. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.